Blog Talk Radio.
And I thought my jokes were bad.
Give me one reason why I shouldn't have my boy here pull your head off.
How about a magic trick? I'm gonna make this pencil disappear. Ta-da! It's gone. Oh, and by the way, the suit, it wasn't cheap. You ought to know, you bought it.
Sit. I want to hear proposition.
Let's wind the clocks back a year. These cops and lawyers wouldn't dare cross any of you. I mean, what happened? Did your balls drop off? You see, a guy like me...
Freak.
A guy like me... Look, listen. I know why you choose to have your little group therapy sessions in broad daylight. I know why you're afraid to go out at night. The Batman... See, Batman has shown Gotham your true colors, unfortunately. Dent, he's just the beginning. And as for the television's so-called plan, Batman has no jurisdiction. He'll find him and make him squeal. I know the squealers when I see them. And...
What do you propose?
It's simple. We kill the Batman.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. Look, up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane.
No, it's Max, Darrow, and D-Bert, your host for the Comic Shop Show.
Good evening, folks. Good evening. This is your host, D-Bert, a.k.a. The Afternoon, and welcome to The Grindhouse. This is Saturday, June 1st, and it is sweltering outside. Nevertheless, we hope to cool you down with some discourse in the comic world, comic, sci-fi, fantasy world. So without further ado, let's go to a quick groove, and I do mean quick. Let's give it about a minute or so. A quick groove, and when we get back, we'll talk about After Earth, Will Smith and Son. We'll be right back. This is Super Rhymes, a classic by Jimmy Spicer. Oh, about a minute and a half. We'll be right back.
Rhymes faster than a speeding bullet. Has more rhymes than a train has tracks. Able to reach sucker MCs in a single rhyme. Look at the jam of the mic. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
No, I'm super rhyme.
The new thing makes you wanna swing while us MCs rap. Doing our thing is not singing like it used to be. No, it's rapping to the rhythm of the Georgia beat. It goes one for the money, two for the show. You got my beat, now here I go. You see this DJ, he gets down mixing rookies while they go around with a hit up. The hop, you just don't stop. You rock to the beat till it makes you drop. Yes, I'm one of a kind. I'm Super Rhymes and I'd like to say hello. And since I'm on the mic and I'm ready to rock, oh, this is how it goes. Yes, I rock so good, I rock so well. I'll ring ding dang, a ding ding a dang, baby, I'll ring your bell. Yes, I'm Super Rhymes, I'm 22. I wanna be 100 before I'm through. Because no, I didn't come from the planet Earth. Planet Rhyme on is my place of birth. From the day I came out my mother's womb, I found myself in the operating room. Then the doctor spanked me on my behind. I didn't cry, the kid started to rhyme. My mother said, son, that's the way it should be. Your name is Super Rhymes, you'll be an MC. So then my father put me on a meteorite. sent me to Earth to rock the mic. I got to Earth and started laying it down at the jam of a mic. I couldn't be found while I was at the jam of this one time. I rocking to the beat, said I'm feeling fine. Just a freaking out on the freak behind. I looked in a face of...
All right, about a minute. First of all, folks, if I played that song in its entirety, the show would be over. That's old school classic hip-hop for you. That's like a 15-minute song, incidentally. All right, folks, let's get into it. This is The Grindhouse, a.k.a. The Comic Shop, first, after the radio second. First up, let's bring in the captain. Captain, it is your time. Let's get to it.
You had me jamming with that record. I was jamming, man.
Trust me, it was hard to cut that off, hard to pull out the phaser on that one. Then, of course, the great, indefatigable, irascible, irreplaceable, just plain old ornery, Daryl B.
We may be beginning the show with the Smiths, but Fox, Disney, and Marvel, I'm coming after you today.
Uh-oh. I see we're going to have one of those shows. Folks, feel free to jump on in. The water is warm. We're going to talk about a lot of things this evening, but first up, we are going to talk about the new release of After Earth, the Smith & Company's latest foray into the science fiction world. The call-in number is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. All right, let me start this off first. I know it's a rarity. I did it last week. We'll do it one more time, and then we'll go back to the normal asking of Daryl B., his opinion. I saw this earlier this morning, so I just saw After Earth. For those who are in the know or who are not in the know, this is, I guess, the second outing of Will Smith and his son. The first one was Pursuit of Happiness a few years ago. This is the second one. This time, of course, Jaden is older now. He's a teenager. And the critics are panning this film. They're not giving it a great film. I'm not giving it a great review, excuse me. And this is supposed to be Big Willie's summer. Every couple of summers when a Will Smith movie comes out, because of his box office prowess, usually he can do no wrong. So I am a supporter of Will Smith's work, and I was hesitant to see this thing because the trailer didn't really entice me like I thought it would normally do. Most of the time when Will Smith does something, he does it big. There's something about this film initially that really didn't get my blood boiling. It didn't really get me, my juices flowing. But and then on top of that, the reviews said things like, well, the movie is boring, it's predictable, it's rife with Scientology. You know, they're trying to shove Scientology innuendo in his work. Just plain old predictable. It's not really all that. And then, of course, you have M. Night. What's his last name?
Shyamalan.
M. Night Shyamalan, who in his earlier works was deemed the second coming of Alfred Hitchcock. Now, after quite a few flops, he can't get a room. So I guess everyone was hoping that with him pairing up with Will Smith, maybe this will get him out of his doldrums. I don't know. Ladies and gentlemen, I was pleasantly surprised. I actually enjoyed the film. I enjoyed it. Maybe I'm a sucker for the promotion of black male bonding, fathers and sons on screen in the future in a non-stereotypical light. That might be what is blinding me for giving it a complete egg on my face. That might be what's doing. It's something about the film. I was able to look at it deeper, and I'm wondering, because the captain is always talking about memes. He talked about memes last show. I wonder if the meme is so embedded that when you see black folk, you're expecting them, A, not to be in the future, and B, you're expecting a minstrel show. I thought that as far as Will Smith's dramatic prowess, was pretty much on point. I mean, as far as his acting ability, I thought this is perhaps one of the few films that I saw him really put it down. The only thing that can be said that would be a negative is that people are saying it's predictable. You know how this is going to turn out. But then what makes it any different than 90% of what's put out here for sci-fi and fantasy? How often do we see things that we know is going to end in a certain way? What makes this film any more different? Why the critique for that? So I want Dow to come in on this, but I may say more, but for the most part, it really was not as bad as the critics are leading you to believe it was. I thought it was an adequate sci-fi film, and to see these two together, some of the messaging in the film I had no problems with. I thought that as far as sci-fi work is concerned, I thought it was a fairly important film for the sake of imagery alone. For the sake of imagery, you need to see this because we rarely see it. Darryl, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know what? Let me answer the critics first because I went off on the critics last week, and let me follow it up by this. I found a lot of the critics to be overly harsh on it, and then after I saw it, I remarked to a friend, "All right, wait. I saw critics say, oh, it's overly schmaltzy, oh, da, da, da." And I go like, okay, what's the difference between this film and, was it last year or 18 months ago when Real Steel came out?
Yeah.
You know, if you look at that, the quote-unquote father-son dynamic in this film and Real Steel, it was both the same thing. It's just the settings and the surroundings and the circumstances are much different, all right? Me, I thought it was okay myself. I thought it was okay. And just because, as I remarked to the guys before we came onto the show, it felt like Castaway meets the Island of Dr. Moreau. That's what it felt like to me. It was a lot of different tropes being there, but... And this is my criticism with M. Night Shyamalan. He could have taken this movie to a different place and make it new. But he fell into the comfort zone of some of tried and true, you know, sci-fi fans. Like, if you're a hardcore sci-fi fan like us, you see the tropes coming. You know, you see the situations coming. All right? And that's what it felt like to me. But it didn't ruin my anticipation of the film. I just thought that with the tech he was using, the creatures looked fantastic, you know, the settings were beautiful. I expected more of a twist. And isn't that ironic in an M. Night Shyamalan film that I expected more of a twist than we actually got in this, you know? And I will say this, too. I've commented on the blog that I tend to see things true race when it comes to these things, right? And I work against it. But I don't think, at one, it's refreshing to see a strong black male with a son in one of these films. I'll just say that outside the box. Inside the box, I think you could have put any two actors in there, you know, and had the same dynamic. For me, Pursuit of Happiness, you know, there was more of a evoking emotion in that than this, all right? And like I said, it sounds like I'm panning the film, but I think the film was okay. I just wish they explored the sci-fi a bit more. I wish they explored, you know, the tropes a little more. It's like you had the same food over again, and you're waiting for that tangy, you know, delicious, you know, aftertaste, and it just isn't there. That's my thing with this, if you catch what I'm saying, Afro Nerd.
Yeah, I do, and I tell you something. You brought up something very appropriate. I'm glad you made that analogy because I saw Real Steel. I enjoyed Real Steel, but to be frankly honest, even with the trailers, you knew how that was going to turn out as well. That was a pretty paint-by-the-numbers, predictable film, but the critics were a bit more conciliatory toward that film. And the father-son dynamic was almost identical with Jaden and Will. There was this difficult, which is something that is a trope, always this difficult relationship, this friction between father and son, until something catastrophic happens where they have to expose their feelings and they have to really become the father and son that we would want to see. But they have to go through trials and tribulations and danger and hysteria, whatever, in this case. And the real steel thing was, that's the whole thing, not to be repetitive, but I'm wondering how much of that blinds the critics. The main dynamic is you do not see, first of all, you saw a loving black family, an attractive loving black family in the future. Okay, you saw Zoe Kravitz. She was, I don't want to give too much away, but she plays his daughter. I can't remember the wife, but she's a well noted UK actress. I can't remember her name. She's got a very attractive actress. Was she in Hotel Rwanda? I believe she,
yes.
She played. Yeah, she's Hotel Rwanda. Lovely actress, and you saw that. You saw a normal. That was the deal. I saw a functional black family on screen, functional in the future. And it's a little bit disingenuous that when it's our turn, all of a sudden everything is boring, it's tropey. Wait a minute, this Hollywood is Tropeville. Hollywood is mean town. Why is it all of a sudden when it's the black folks, it's a little weird or something? So that's why I saw the film and I pretty much enjoyed myself. As far as the CGI and the cinematography, it's a very lush environment we're talking about. I hope it does better. Now, I saw this 10 o'clock in the morning, and there were a lot of people in there for 10 o'clock in the morning. So I'm wondering if Will Smith's name will because you see that at times where the name recognition will supersede the criticism. I don't know. I don't know how it's tracking.
Yeah.
I'm hearing like 30, 35 million. So I don't know.
Hey, Will's got the built-in fan base, so they'll go and see it, you know? Black folks that don't like sci-fi will go and see it because it's Will Smith. You know, that's already built in. But the way I looked at it, and I tell you folks, we're just giving you opinions. It's up to you whether you want to go and see it or not, right? But if you went into this movie thinking, yeah, we're going to see Father versus Son. No, because look at all the trailers. Yeah, we're going to see firefights. No, because look at the trailer. You know, I think people went in with perceptions of not futuristic black folk, but they went in with, oh, we're going to see black folk we see on the street every day. Oh, we're going to see. No. When has Will Smith ever acted in a movie like that? Bad Boys? Yeah. We see rich cops who are African-American driving their cars real fast in the city, blowing up stuff. That happens every day. You know, people just need to leave their perceptions to the side when it comes to stuff like this. And by equal opinion, not put so much stock in other people's opinions. If you want to see it, go see it. I think a lot of guys came into this one biased, myself. And I'm not saying race bias. I'm just saying they saw Will Smith on the marquee. They saw M. Night Shyamalan on the marquee. And their minds were already made up.
Yeah, the actress, to be fair, Sophie Okonedo, a very attractive UK actress. I've seen her in other works. I thought it was a pretty solid film. Was it spectacular? No. But I thought it was far, so far removed from what the critics have been saying. And that Real Steel comparison, man, that's exactly what this is. And I'm wondering why all the, you know, this is a one star and it's just the worst thing out. And when you see black folks in their dysfunctional state, this is almost an Afro nerd argument, but I'm going to say it and then I'm going to move along. When you see black folk in their most dysfunctional state, you get Oscars, you get heavy critical analysis. It's the best thing since sliced bread. But when we conduct ourselves as normal folk, or if you see us in positions of power, in this case, Will Smith's character is a highly decorated, highly respected officer, high-ranking officer that everyone pretty much respects. He's almost like a futuristic younger Colin Powell. That's pretty much what someone high-ranking military guy that everyone respects. So when you see that on screen, I think so many people, black and white, if you're going to racialize it, are so comfortable with the meme of dysfunctionalism that, oh, something is off. When we're dysfunctional, everything is normal. That's all I got to say. I would really implore the audience, check out the flick, because to see a futuristic father and son really bonding, where it's not a Tyler Perry film, which is what you oftentimes are going to get commercially. This has to be applauded if just for that alone. I'm all about imagery. You guys know that. I like the image, damn it. I like that image. I'll say it straight up. We need a film like this. You just need it.
Hey,
stinker or not.
Hey, and as a guy who's railed against sci-fi for, hey, where's the black folk, you know? This one was, you know, if you're a black sci-fi fan, you at least need to see it just to form your opinion about it. I told the guys before the show started, to me, asking my friends, it felt like Oblivion and Prometheus. You had three friends that really loved it, three friends that really hated it, and four that were right down the middle. So make up your own minds, America and the world. Make up your own minds.
Any thoughts, Captain? I know you didn't see it, but maybe you might want to, you know, just as far as image is concerned. And you said you kind of didn't, it didn't really grab you. It's something to see. So, and I had that feeling too.
Well, here's the thing. If the movie doesn't do well, they're not so much going to blame Will Smith. They'll blame Mr. Shyamalan, because as insiders say, that his movies always feel like a too long, what's the exact terminology they use? They say not a too long sci-fi movie, but a too long Twilight Zone movie. And we all know Twilight Zone segments were just pretty much a half an hour. So if it doesn't do well, they're going to blame him at the end of the day. You know, so I'm all for that image. I'm all for that image, but I just didn't really have the desire for it to go. It just didn't strike me. But I'm definitely for the image. I'm supportive of that image, and we definitely do need to see more of that in TV, on the theatrical release, just in general. So back over to you, Seraph and Nerd.
All right, gentlemen, let's go to a quick musical break. And when we get back, something that we really should have picked up on last week. It was a major story, still kind of seeping into this week as well. We never did get around to discussing the Wanda and Pietro Maximoff, a.k.a. Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver, that whole debacle that's going on between two movie houses, between Marvel Entertainment and between Fox, and how this is going to play itself out.
Yeah,
Captain,
you got my cutaways, right? Get ready. Get ready. Boxing gloves are coming on for this one. Get ready.
All right, quickly. Let's hear a little bit of Nerdcore. This is Cybernetic Circuits by Optimus Rhyme. About 2 minutes. Folks, we'll be right back. Let's groove.
I am Mixing Tamino is on my payroll. I spent 20 G's on the vocab upgrade. Phytogenetical cybernetic tongue muscles are good for the flow and great for other things. Now I mean, human chips each at 50 gigs. Optimus and possibly efficient, full of 1%. Thermodynamics designed by devious engineers. Every last one excels to give a feeling genius. Elaborate systems are probing space for them shows. Titanium lawyers by Mother Nature's move. Ho, ho, purple. Hurdle in the head and I'll pass bug killer. I founded it, that passion made me iller. Pupils constrict if you can see monitor irises. I hired an analysis to see what my virus is. What? It's not what I expected. Infected by the whacker called conspiracy. Inhibited, infected.
Ain't nothing left but these cybernetic circuits to work with. I burst in binary code without rehearsing. I'm bursting. Permanent collisions for your operating system. You want me to stop? But what's the difference? Resistance is useless within this. Auto beat monopoly and you're another victim. We break in, spitting more than just phlegm. Taking everything hostage, no ransom. I'm logged on from net to .com. Sliding through all your measures like I'm singing a song. Your firewall just got hit by a bomb. My soundscapes create earthquakes from Seattle to Cybertron. Just remain calm. There's no need for the static, see? These auto beats can beat you automatically. You're now a casualty of transforming situations. Forget complacence because bomb is what you're facing.
I got 5 hard drives with 89 gigabytes.
I eat databases, networks, and websites.
I got bitches, viruses that devour these satellites.
Encryption, deciphering all that you read and write.
Ignite with 5 million horses under the hood.
Conscious artificial intelligence up to no good.
Maybe delivering doses as most is misunderstood.
It's the optimist, you wouldn't step to steal if you could.
I got 5 hard drives with 89 gigabytes.
I eat databases, networks, and websites.
I got these vicious viruses that devour these satellites.
Encryption, deciphering all that you read and write.
Ignite with 5 million horses under the hood.
Conscious artificial intelligence up to no good.
Maybe delivering doses as most is misunderstood.
It's the optimist,
you wouldn't step to steal if you could.
All right, we're back. Once again, this is the Comic Shop. That was Optimus Rhyme, Cybernetic Circuits. Back into the fold, folks. Let's get into the next topic. We were supposed to talk about this last week, and we're always bunched up with a lot of issues, folks, so sometimes things do get lost between the sheets or whatever. This time around, there seems to be, I guess, a legal war or a war of intellectual property involving Joss Whedon's ability to use the Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver. For those who may not be familiar with these characters, they're brother and sister mutants that are heavy not only with the X-Men world, but very much in the Avengers world. So because of that, you know where this is going. You have Avengers 2 coming out in 2015. Joss Whedon has put out there that he'd like to use these two intellectual properties. And now, as soon as he makes that announcement, we hear that with the latest X-Men coming out, that they also want to use Pietro Maximoff and Wanda Maximoff, a.k.a. Quicksilver and the Scarlet Witch. No one wants to yield on this. I don't know how this is going to turn out, but I heard through murmurings that if they were going to use these two in the Avengers, that they could not mention their mutant past. They couldn't mention Magneto being their father. They're just superheroes. And this is the problem with these fractured movie houses. They, for some reason, we've been talking about this for months. No one wants to bite the bullet and figure out a way to work together for the fans' benefit, and really for maximum profit, because these characters are indelibly intertwined. Fantastic Four, Spider-Man, all these characters share the same universe, and you really are going to have truncated works when you can't utilize the properties as they were intended to be used. So, Daryl, your thoughts on this beef, and what do you think the result will be in the final analysis?
Look, everybody knows how much I've ripped DC because of the JLA stuff, okay? This is worse. Fox, Disney, Marvel, you see the amount of money you're rolling in? You see how the fans are all hyped up because of this? You know what would kill that? This. Just think about, and this is where Afro Nerd Captain Kirk, we need a real nerd in the room. The real nerd, after hearing both sides, would go, okay, your movie's taking place in the future, Fox, so you could use the older Battle Grizzin Quicksilver. Your movie's taking place in the present, Disney Marvel. You can use a younger, arrogant Quicksilver. Where's the problem? Why are you guys fighting like it's the last turkey leg at Thanksgiving dinner to share between the two of you? Why the hell do you guys have to be such, I can't say that word, but I'll go with Lobo, bastiches about this? Okay? You have made a joint comic universe a reality here. Why can't you work it out? Why? And it's not like even saying, oh, we're going to use Captain America. We're going to use Thor. We're going to use Iron Man. You're not using one of the quote-unquote headliners here. But at the same time, you guys don't see how the using Pietro could help both of your movies. Because us as fans, we know how much he means to both franchises. You know, and I'll just say it like this. If you're an X-Men fan and you don't know how much Pietro means to the Avengers, I guess you're new, right? Because, listen, he was much more a part of the Avengers universe than the X-Men universe. All right? He really became a part of the X-Men universe through X-Factor of all things. You know, and the illustrious Peter David, who I'm glad to see is on the mend. Keep on going strong there, Mr. David. You know, and why? Why would you want to slay the golden goose here? Why? Why would you want to F everything up? Have you guys learned nothing from seeing DC clown around with the JLA franchise? Have you guys learned nothing from seeing brilliant ideas just get killed? Hey, you know what? You know what? I said I was going to bring out the boxing gloves, but guess what? Best of your franchises, best of your movie houses, you're not even worth the words. Just know this. If this goes on for much longer and you guys keep on bickering like this, you don't think it's going to taint your works coming out? You got another thing coming. Captain, the ring's yours, man.
I'll keep it real simple. And then I'll pass it right back over to Afflin. This is about who has the biggest penis. That's it. You know? That's the non-yielding situation that's going on. My penis is bigger than yours. Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah, we could do this. I could do it. I'm pretty sure someone came around and explained to them just pretty much the way Daryl does, because they do have geeks around, you know. They do have these individuals around that they do have on payroll from time to time, that consult from time to time. They don't necessarily listen to them. But, yeah, that makes sense. But my penis is bigger than yours. That's all. Back over to you, sir, Afflinger.
Yeah, just quickly, and then I want to go to the next topic. I want to talk about this Hub Channel Shizao. I don't know what that is. It's a 21st century version of Shazam, I think. We'll get into it. Anyway, I'm looking at ScreenRant.com. This is only within the last couple of days, so this thing is still going on. And Joss Whedon reconfirms that he's going to use Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch. So, you know, but at the same time, the title has it where he dodges the X-Men question. So I don't know how this is going to work out, but I'm going to read this briefly. It says, 20th Century Fox's seventh and by far the biggest Marvel movie to date, X-Men Days of Future Past, is currently shooting in Montreal. director Bryan Singer is bringing back everybody from the original X-Men trilogy, along with the principal cast of X-Men First Class, and many new faces for the ambitious team-up involving a story featuring time travel. Over at Marvel Studios, where four films are in various stages of production, Joss Whedon has handed in the first draft of his screenplay for The Avengers 2, and in it, he's introducing a pair of new heroes, the same two characters that Bryan Singer and Fox may be using in X-Men Days of Future Past. Two studios, two characters, two separate Marvel Cinematic Universes. Whedon has been sharing his excitement for introducing the brother-sister act ever since teasing their introduction weeks ago at the world premiere of Iron Man 3, an odd time to begin name-dropping new characters for a movie 2 years out. Since that time, multiple publications have spoken with Whedon, who since confirmed that the pair of new characters will be Pietro and Wanda Maximoff, a.k.a. Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch. Let's see.
Wait, this is where I find this funny. Think about it. One of the best arcs of X-Men in the past 10 years was Whedon's Astonishing X-Men run. Fox, wouldn't it make sense to get on this guy's good side? He's a guy responsible for bringing a lot of X-Men fans back to the franchise. Wouldn't it make sense to go, let's work this out in a spirit of cooperation? But, dang, like the captain said, mine's is bigger than yours. I have to prove that the characters are mine. Idiotas.
First of all, what do you think is the likelihood that they'll have the same actor and actress for both films? Wouldn't that also at least clean up some of the BS?
Not likely, but like I said, if you're doing Days of Future Past, A, Wanda was never a part of Days of Future Past, okay? That's the first problem with this whole thing. The second problem is, if in the future, so Quicksilver's going to be a little bit older. Just a wee bit older, okay? If you're using Quicksilver in modern day, then there's a big problem with that since we just had a young Magneto in your First Class film, and now we're going to have an adult Pietro? What? In all honesty, you know what? Joss Whedon made his announcement first. he made his announcement first, and it was almost like Fox going, no, he can't do that. They're mutants, right? They can't be a part of Avengers. Like, put them in the script. Put them in the script so they can't use them.
Well, listen, here's the dodge. Here's the dodge they're going to move along. It says, to no surprise, he was asked the question, what's up with Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch being in The Avengers 2 and X-Men Days of Future Past? And will he change his script as a result of Bryan Singer's casting announcement of Evan Peters as Quicksilver? Okay, so we have a person. Bryan Singer's casting announcement of Evan Peters as Quicksilver. He says that's not something I can really talk about, but Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch are going to be in the movie, and they're going to be awesome. So that's not really – these guys sometimes can play coy. Maybe – they might surprise us and make some kind of connection between these two. I mean, that's ultimately what my problem is. There's going to come a point where they're going to have to figure out a way for these two properties to work. Why not combine the properties or have bridges? Create momentary bridges where all this stuff works out properly.
And,
I don't know.
And the thing about this is, this sort of the way they're fighting and bickering over this sort of kills our dreams of having Peter Parker or Wolverine just show up in Avengers 2. Because guys, they bear grudges like nobody's business. Oh, they blocked us here. I don't care. I don't care if they're showing up in yours.
Well, I'm hearing a little. Listen, you might be conflating Fox with Sony. Because I'm hearing Sony's having some financial problems, and I'm hearing that it's a possibility that Sony might want to sell Spider-Man to Marvel, or if that's not the case, they might want to work out some deals. So I'm hearing, you know, this, the Japanese are more professional.
That'd be
business.
Good.
There's more talk. I'm hearing less of this impasse between Sony and Marvel than with Fox and Marvel. Because you remember, wasn't Fox had the Watchmen, correct?
I believe so.
Well, wasn't there really going to have some kind of lawsuit? We forget, but the Watchmen almost didn't come out at the last minute because of some legal shenanigans.
Yeah, true. Hey, I just realized something.
Between Fox and Warner Brothers, there was something that went down where Fox was going to put a foot in it.
Hey, but I just realized something. You realize that someone just now put on this show, their mind just got blown by just hearing AfroNerd say, Sony's looking to sell Spider-Man to Marvel. Wait, isn't Spider-Man a part of Marvel? You know, I guarantee you, one or two people listening to the show just went, okay, what did I just miss? Like,
I'm doing one of Daryl's moments, but I mean, I'll explain it. To the listening audience, we're talking about movies and films versus print media. In the films, Marvel doesn't own all of Marvel's intellectual property. Some of these movies are owned by separate movie houses. Marvel, for the most part, luckily enough, has most of their property. But Fox Studios owns X-Men, and the rights to X-Men on film. Sony has Spider-Man. Marvel has everybody else. We just spoke a few weeks ago that Blade, Ghost Rider, and Daredevil have reverted back to Marvel. If these films are not made in a certain amount of time by a studio, they lose their rights to use that property, and it reverts back to the original owner, in this case, Marvel. So, yes, you heard correctly. Sony might give back Spider-Man. As far as film is concerned, film rights might give them or lend it out, or it might be some kind of bridge between Sony and Marvel.
Man, so that puts me in an awkward position as a Marvel fan. I have to root for the second Spider-Man film to fail so Marvel gets the property back. That's not right, man. That really isn't right.
And wait a minute, Kavina Man, who's a supporter, he says Spider-Man and the Avengers would really suck. I think you're a bit too late on that. Spider-Man's been in the Avengers for, what, about 5 years now, Daryl?
Yeah. He was the first character Bendis brought over outside of the current Avengers roster to be an Avenger. The second character, of course, is Wolverine.
All right, gentlemen, let's move along. We got about 60 minutes remaining. For those who are familiar with the cable box, there's a number of cartoon networks. One, of course, is called a Cartoon Network, and it's one of its competitors, or maybe it might be Disney XD is probably a close competitor to the Hub, H-U-B, the Hub. And the Hub has been mediocre at best as to what they show. They show a lot of anime, Transformers, and now I think in the hopes of creating somewhat of a controversy, and of course in the hopes of getting viewers, they have their first, they're calling it a gender-bending hero, animated hero called Shizow. So I guess Shizow is definitely a play on Shazam. But with Billy Batson, for those who are familiar with Shazam, a.k.a. Captain Marvel, when Billy Batson shouts out Shazam, he turns into a male adult from being a 12-year-old boy. In this case, from my understanding, because we're at a different times, we're in different times, folks, so I'm being told, this character, I think, I don't know, I haven't seen it. I don't know if the character shouts out something, but the character is able to change from male to female. As a male, he's just a regular kid, but when it comes down to his superhero self, his other self, he turns into a female. So that opens up a whole line of, well, this is a cartoon, this is for children. Are you kind of sort of throwing in secret messaging? And they're saying this is the first transsexual hero. This is a gender bender hero. I don't know what to think about this. I haven't seen it. I think it came out today, actually. 12-year-old Guy Hampton. Billy Batson is Shazam. Guy Hampton is the kid, the 12-year-old kid, that turns into She's Out.
I don't like it. Didn't see anything. You like some of these guys. Didn't see anything. I don't like it. That's it. I hand down the edict. I don't like it.
Well, I'll just say this. The one that said, oh, it is the first gender-bending superhero, boy, you don't read superheroes much. I think our Japanese listening group have just gone, really? You guys are getting up and on. We've had Ron and a Half for years upon years now. We've had Sailor Moon. You know, we've had, you know, so they're looking at this and laughing. Me, I haven't seen it. Will I give it a shot? Maybe. But keep in mind, the Hub is the same network that has My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic. And to see the amount of adult men that go crazy over My Little Pony, it was fitting that this is going to be paired up right with this. You know? Hey, listen, we're never going to get Captain Marvel the way we love Captain Marvel again. All right? So, you know what? I'll give it a shot, and I'll be laughing. Like I said, Ramna Haas. If you've watched Ramna Haas, then this is like Kool-Aid. You know, like, hey, yeah, Americans, or I think it's a Canadian movie house that's making this. You know, hey, show us what you got. You know, because Ramna, they didn't just deal with, you know, mystical situations to be a hero. They dealt with sexual issues. They dealt with a lot of prejudices and stereotypes. And unfortunately, when it comes to American programming and it goes to cartoons, not many cartoons want to touch that or go into those areas. I expect a lot of cheap jokes here. Back to you, Afternerd.
Well, you know, listen, I don't, again, gentlemen, and to the listening audience, I'm not a fan of always, I say it, I repeat this, I don't really want to delve into racial issues all the time. That's part of what an Afro-nerd is. Afro-nerd is analytical. You apply race when it's appropriate, when you think it's there. But I have to say this. It seems like, and Captain knows what I'm about to say, it seems like everyone is willing to be experimental with other protected groups, except the black group. Except the black group. Anytime it's black folks in some way, when we go to Afro-Nerd Radio at 7 p.m., folks, we're going to talk about the infamous Cheerios commercial, which really to me is old. We'll get into it. Oh, I have to say briefly, it's a commercial depicting an interracial family. It's causing problems. In the 21st century, it's causing problems when no one wants to see that. And I'm saying, wait a minute, but you're willing to put a quasi-gay character out there for children's consumption. But, you know, when we saw the DC shorts, Daryl, with Black Lightning and his two daughters, I'm hearing more and more people want to see that as a full thing, as a full-length show. That will be, I would want to see that as a full-length show. And I tell you, there's going to be more deliberations to have that approved once again, seeing black functionalism, not dysfunctionalism, black functionalism is way more controversial than the gay thing. And it boggles my mind. They are sneaking in. Well, let me make it one more point. I want you to, because I know you might have seen this. Did you see the subtle thing that happened in Future Foundation about 2 months ago? Do you know what I'm talking about?
All right. You're going to have to take one.
I'll explain it. For those who are unknown, the Future Foundation is an offshoot of the Fantastic Four. This is another FF. It's an FF where they're more educational, more instructional to a group of misfit children coming from various backgrounds. I mean, you have Inhuman children. For those who are familiar with the Inhuman mythology, you have Inhuman children. You have clones of supervillains. You know, children that have been cloned from supervillains. You have all these quote unquote misfits that are being educated under the tutelage of the Fantastic Four. But it's a separate story, and instead of the Fantastic Four, they call the FF for Future Foundation. One of the Inhuman characters that, for the most part, it's a group of, I guess, genderless?
Moloids. The Molemen guys.
You figure they're males. But one of them told the group, he told the group, I've chosen female as my gender. And everybody sat there and kind of said, oh, okay, we're happy for you. It was like a coming out. It was a coming out thing in this comic book for a creature that many thought were just male or maybe genderless, but he decided I'm a female. And here's this weird-looking creature that's putting on wigs and dressing up like a girl. Now, they just threw that out there for S and giggles.
Okay.
I didn't mind it, but it's one of those Barack Obama teachable moments that they threw in there. They just threw it in there. I don't know.
Well, you know, honestly, they didn't do it out of the blue. They set it up because for the 3-4 issues prior, whenever Sue Storm was there, this particular Moloid in question was in the kitchen with her, went shopping with her, he imprinted himself on her as his number one role model, where the rest of his brethren imprinted themselves on Ben Grimm. So, you know, that's why I'm not shocked by it, because they had a setup for it. My thing is, and it's something that I keep on harping on, as you keep on harping on this, is I see with Legion of Superheroes the future, but only one or two black people. You've brought up the Superman Island with black people. You know, I've seen Star Trek, you know, one, and hopefully now with J.J. Abrams in control, we're getting more. It is just a fact of the matter that, and I'll say it again, Hollywood doesn't consider African-American people to be huge sci-fi fans. And they're wrong. Because how many of us have looked at the old-time kung fu flicks during the 70s and 80s? You can't tell me that was science fiction? I mean, I don't know many guys that can fly through the air, hit 10 people all at the same time with death blows, and then sit back and chug whiskey. You know, the instant I see that happen every day, you know, I won't say that's science fiction. You know, I guess the theme of today is perceptions. Perceptions versus reality. And the problem is we don't have enough people involved to make their perceptions wrong and introduce them to a new reality. That's the problem, Afro-Nerd.
Well, listen, it's all about agendas. And I see when there's agenda put in place, but I will repeat, when it's a black and brown or even Asian agenda or even Native American, when it comes down to really putting us full flush in the fabric of society, cinematically, and even in print, in these mythological things, sci-fi, fantasy, it's always a problem. I mean, listen, as much as I will really cherish and really get into, because I'm a big speedster guy, I like speedsters. So I'm torn about this. I would love to see a quick-footed being in Avengers 2. So I mean, I always loved the speedsters always had the best costumes. Let's be blunt about that. Quicksilver's costume was always cool to me. Just like Kid Flash's costume is always cool. Even Barry Allen, the way he has his costume comes out of his ring. Speedsters have always been cool to me. But the fact that Joss is able to bypass Black Panther once again, it's always like a build-up. We don't know. It's always some kind of difficulty. You know, I forgot the gentleman's name from Marvel, one of the bigwigs at Marvel, that went into this brief diatribe about bringing Wakanda to life is going to be this big hullabaloo. But you brought Asgard to life. Asgard doesn't exist. Africa is here. I mean, it's laughable. It's always pulling teeth and great difficulty to put black folks outside of the trope of dysfunctionalism. And it's getting tired. But, now we got Shazam.
But don't worry. It'll be all okay next season when Diggle finds that Green Lantern ring and arrow.
We'll see. We got about 3 minutes remaining, gentlemen. You know, if I could sneak in one more thing. Well, speaking about Green Lantern, what are your thoughts about Green Lantern? I forgot the gentleman who's pinning it, but the same guy that pinned Green Lantern is pinning the Blade Runner sequel. Do you reward someone after a failure?
It's Hollywood. They do that all the time. You know, the famous robot chicken. Yeah, the famous robot chicken sketch with the guys who did the Godzilla remake. You know, and they put the Godzilla little kids on ice, and you have Matthew Broderick dancing like Saturday Night Fever in the middle of them, right? And the executive goes, "We paid you $100 million for this." And the two creators look at each other, "That's right, we got $50 million. Yeah! That's what this is. I mean, yo, Green Lantern messed up the character on every possible level you could mess it up. So you know what? You don't go to the minor leagues. We're going to give you another major league shot. Here you go, Blade Runner."
Yeah, and Harrison Ford is in talks of having him show up once again, probably as an older Deckard, I would assume. All right, gentlemen, we got about a minute or so. Let's move on up. We got to go to Afternoon Radio next door. Daryl, as always, we will appreciate your support. We'll do it again, folks, next week.
Enjoy, folks.
We do what we do. Afternoon next.
Spock with a beard?
I think not. We'll be right back. I'm sorry.
Not only sorry, we now need to buy my brand new white Air Jordans I just bought. And that's all you can say is excuse me.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious. I'll fuck you up quick two times.
Two times?
Who told you to step on my sneakers? Who told you to walk on my side of the block? Who told you to be in my neighborhood?
I own this brownstone.
Who told you to buy a brownstone on my block in my neighborhood on my side of the street? Yo, what you want to live in the black neighborhood for anyway, man? Motherfuck gentrification.
Well,
as I understand it, this is a free country. Man can live wherever he wants.
Free country? Man, oh, I should fuck you for saying that stupid shit alone.
Yo, man, your Jordans are fucked up.
Man, you might as well throw them shits out.
Them shit is broke.
Man, they looked at it good before he messed up. He did this shit on purpose, man. He was even talking about your mom.
Oh, that's that shit to me.
Yo, man, how much you pay for him?
$100
American dollars.
108 with tax.
I give him 100 headaches.
Look, you're lucky the black man has a loving heart. Next time you see me coming, then you cross the street quick.
I'm out of here.
Yo, man, bring his feet. Come on,
take his bike. I should make you buy me another pair. Black Panther, whoop his ass.
Take his bike.
Kick his ass.
Man, you're lucky I'm a righteous black man. Otherwise, you'd be in serious trouble, man. Serious.
Fuck him up.
Then why don't you move back to Massachusetts?
I was born in Brooklyn.
Oh, dearly
beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man. What is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor. All hail funk and lesson. Sweet tongue, grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold. Born in a cosmos where no time and space do exist. Vibe in the midst of the chaos. Mortals label me as a lock.
You're traveling to another radio show. A broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, Deeper, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
Good evening, folks. Part two. This is the Afternoon Radio Show. You just finished listening to The Comic Shop with Daryl B., myself, and, of course, Captain Kirk. The call-in number, 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-960. We only have about an hour, so we have a lot to get into, folks. So let's get to a quick groove like we always do. And when we come back, more discourse. Well, you knew that already. This is Ma and Pa, the Mighty Fishbone. We'll be right back. Some urban alternative, folks. Let's groove.
There once was a mob that wanted her.
We're back, folks. Again, that was the Mighty Fishbone, Ma and Pa, a classic from the Truth and Soul EP, or I would say, well, CD. Can't say album, can you? All right, folks, this is Afro Radio. First up, Captain Kirk. Captain, let's get to it.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
What kind of milk do you like your Cheerios with, sir?
Well, I don't know. You can't say vanilla or chocolate, can you?
Cannot.
In this case. Well, I'm not really a cereal kind of guy anyway. I mean, I have breakfast. I believe breakfast is important, but not really into Cheerios. I'm not a Cheerios type of person. I'm an oatmeal guy. That's me, personally. Folks, we got a lot to get into. And first up, something that seems to be building up on the internet in cyberspace. There's this new commercial, speaking of Cheerios, that honestly, I thought the premise was dated. But I've always said, why haven't we seen this in the modern era? They seem to be, the media, the powers that be, they've been very, very reticent in portraying normalcy when it comes to black folk. And part of normalcy involves interracial relationships. Hate it or love it, it's a part of life, normalcy. So this controversy has been brewing because it was put out there on YouTube and the comment section had to be taken off because people were saying rather hateful things. So I'm going to play this quick clip from the Huffington Post Live website. They were chopping it up about this controversy. I would like to say it was a controversy, but I don't think it is a controversy. I think it really is a controversy, and it really makes my heart heavy because it is a cute commercial, although there's some things in it, Captain, that still tell us that we have a difficult time where black folks and white folks getting together. We've been getting together for 400 years in the midnight hour. That's why many of us come in different hues. It's been going on since time immemorial, but especially in the States, it's been going on for hundreds of years. And yet this awkwardness still remains. Shout out to Strom, the late Strom Thurmond. Shout out to him, whose daughter just passed on recently. His part African daughter, I should say. All right. This is from the Huffington Post, folks. Hold on.
An adorable Cheerios commercial featuring an interracial couple has sparked strong racist backlash on YouTube. Let's take a look at the ad.
Mom. Yes, honey?
Dad told me that Cheerios is good for your heart. Is that true?
Says here that Cheerios has whole grain oats that can help remove some cholesterol, and that's heart healthy.
So instead of our laughing and enjoying like we have been watching this, the YouTube comment section has since been closed because it received all sorts of awful stuff in it, but it also received more than 1,600 likes and 500 dislikes as of Friday morning. Right before they closed the comment section, we were seeing all sorts of cesspool stuff happening there.
Yeah, really nasty stuff. I think the big thing to take away from this and to remember is that on the internet, anyone can have a voice, and mm-hmm. that's one of the beautiful things about the internet, but that's also one of the really ugly things about the internet. And in this case, there was there, you know, some people took to the comments section and took to Cheerio's Facebook page with some really, really nasty comments that were shocking to me, and I'm completely shocked that this is actually creating any sort of outrage or any conversation like this.
I mean, I feel like the last anti-miscegenation law was struck down in 1967, so you have all sorts of backwards folk now taking and saying things about like Nazism and racial genocide in the comment section. Should we really be surprised though that any comment section has this kind of crap in it?
I was surprised this morning. But then, you know, initially I was surprised, and then when I actually think about it a little bit, that you have to remember that YouTube is YouTube, and YouTube comments is a really easy place for people to leave nasty comments.
All right, Captain. I'm going to get into this a little bit more, but I want to hear your thoughts on this. What do you think is going on here?
Well, actually, I enjoyed the commercial. I thought it, just as they said, I thought it was a cute commercial. I enjoyed it. You know, that's what I essentially thought about it. But when you do look at the commercial further, and then you see a lot of the comments, I am not surprised by these comments, because when you visit other parts of America, we're industrialized. Black people and white people been getting together for the longest in the dark. And when it comes to the light, that's when we run into problems. But when you begin to move around America, different states, different cities, you know what you start to realize? America is a lot more backwards than we would think here in New York. A lot of very, on both sides of the spectrum. What do I mean by that? How so, Captain? On the black side and on the white side. Now let's look at black people. Look at black people. And I have a tendency to say this when it comes to black people. Black people, not all of us, but a lot of us, are like this: mentally damaged, abused. Just look at that from a small child's perspective. Just say any small child that was mentally damaged, spiritually damaged, physically damaged, sexually damaged. Then they grow up, and then they manage to get a good job. And from time to time, that past just comes up. It raises their ugly head, regardless or whatever they may be doing at the given time. They may have a nice job, they may have a nice career, but that past of all that abuse just raises their ugly head. Now, not to go off on a tangent, but it's tangentially related. Sometimes people like to criticize black quarterbacks. Can't criticize a black quarterback, because all of us, if you're a white person, all of a sudden it becomes racist. I criticize black quarterbacks all the time. I get away with it because I am a black man. That's part of the things that I mean with the damage. You automatically, you're not looking at the situation at hand because of all of this damage of the oppressor, suppressor, and everything else. So that's something that's happening on that side, on the black people's side. So you might not actually see what's really happening in front of you. People need to be able to criticize you if you're not on point, regardless of wherever you are. Now, next, on the white side now, stop this superiority complex. You know, just because I'm white, I'm right. That has to go. Now, bringing it back to the point, to the commercial. It is very late, because this has been happening for the longest. We're in 2013. You see couples like this actually walking around people, walking around. Now, mainstream media has a tendency to ostracize itself. They don't do it enough. But if you step out of your house, you go to your little malls across America, you see couples like this all the time. Maybe you can get away from it, but when it's on the commercial, it's in your face on a regular basis. And it's going to happen more and more and more, because that's what happens. You know, that's what happens when the people begin to interact with each other. These things definitely do happen. So once again, I'll say that I thought the commercial was a nice commercial. I didn't feel offended by it in any way, any shape, or form. Back over to you, Sir Raffle Nerd.
Yeah, I concur. I see our friend from Chicago is on hold. I'm going to bring him in a moment, Mr. Sergio Mims. of Shadow and Act. Again, folks, definitely check out. Excellent blog. And I believe he has a piece on this very issue at Shadow and Act, courtesy of IndieWire. Just Google Shadow and Act or IndieWire.com. Anyway, briefly, the only thing I will say is there's still a bit of innuendo, Captain, working with that commercial that is still unnecessary for the 21st century. Because you see the daughter. Let me tell you how my mind works. First of all, I barely found out what the issue was because it was on the ghetto-centric blog Bossip. And Bossip said there was a controversy, but then didn't discuss it. So all you saw was the video and the title, but no kind of write-up.
I know where you're going with it.
I just saw the visuals. I didn't even hear the audio. So when I saw the visuals, I said, well, "What's that black girl doing with that white woman?" That was my first reaction, right? Because without hearing her say "mom," you know, she goes into the whole thing. Mom, is it true that Cheerios is good for your heart or something? I didn't really get the real warmth of a mother to her daughter as far as visual. I just saw, like, why is this black girl in this white woman's house? Right? That's my first reaction. Then when I was able to get the audio on it, and then I Googled and found, oh, there really is a controversy. I didn't know there was a controversy because Voxup was half-assed about it. No write-up, just the controversy, and I couldn't hear the audio. Typical lower-tier ghetto-centric blog nonsense. So when I see the video in its entirety, you see the husband at the end of it in a couch with a whole bunch of Cheerios on his chest. Obviously, the little girl is trying to warm her father's heart. Hence, she pours the entire content of the Cheerios on his chest, which is cute as all get out. First of all, I hate when videos make me soft. It warms the cockles of the Afro-nerd's heart, Captain. So that disturbs me. It makes me feel gushy inside. The girl's cherubic looking. She's cherubic, cute as a button. Plus, she's got that voice. Mom, and it's like a certain way, that aw shucks that I don't like, that it makes me do the aw shucks thing. That's just my own personal problem. I don't like the gooey goodness stuff. It's too gooey. But if they were going to do it the right way, here's black behind, should have been in his drawers, wake up in the morning, and kissing his wife on the mouth, hey, hon, what's up, like every other husband does. No, you have to find out. It's like a reveal. It's a reveal that her husband is black, because once you figure it out, when the kid says ma, I say, oh, black man's got to be in that house somewhere, you know? So they did a cop out, sort of. They still softened it, Captain. This is why you have we're analysts here. They still softened the blow. If they were to be full throttle, have this man come in there, kiss his wife like all the other commercials have it, some kind of actual intimacy, and then whatever. But they made it into a reveal. They made it cute and revealing and non-threatening. And as non-threatening as it was, it still was threatening. Because the innuendo was too much. The innuendo was too much.
Hey, but it wasn't an Axe commercial. So how much kissing do they have to do?
He should have put his tongue down her throat. Like I would have. Hey. Afternoon here. Maybe get a squeeze off or something. I'm just saying. Squeeze a butt. Hey, I'm going to reveal something. I think you might be listening. As a mature man, the Oracle squeezes the wedge's butt in the morning on occasion. We should have seen that. We should have seen that in that Cheerios commercial. As normal people, normal co-mingling between a husband and wife, and they didn't do that. They copped out, Captain. They copped out. Let's go to the call. We got a couple of calls here. All right, let's Let's go to Mr. Mims from Chicago. You have a Serge.
Yes. Yes, I'm here.
Listen, you had an excellent piece on this at Shadow and Ash. You were toying with it. You know, you're going back and forth about the controversy. What are your thoughts? I mean, first of all, is this a web-only commercial or is this a national campaign?
You know, I don't know. It's been over on the web. I haven't seen it on TV, but then I don't really see that much commercial TV anyway. Maybe
yeah,
it has been on.
I suspect, I really suspect this is a web-only campaign, which makes it even
could
more
be.
Of a cop-out.
Right,
well,
it
God
could
bless.
Be. Personally, I don't have any problem with the commercial at all. I think it's very cute. I don't think it's that funny, but, you know, it's cute. And what attracted me was going in the opposite direction, the reaction by black people about the commercial. You know, most people, if you read my piece and you read the comments, we're still getting comments. And as I said at the end of the piece, when you're dealing with race, you know, when you're just dealing with black people, we have issues. That's what I wrote in my piece. We really do have issues. I think we all need mass therapy. We have issues. So, In the article, for example, I said that the girl was obviously biracial. And she is. You look at her, you can tell she's biracial. Gee, I can tell. But some people were upset by that.
Because
see, I can't.
Well, go ahead. But I didn't necessarily see that, but go ahead.
See, I did. Gee, it looks like a little biracial. I don't think that's offensive. I see biracial people all the time. I know friends who are. That's not offensive to me, but I don't think it's offensive, but some people took offense to that, saying that, how can you look at her and tell? Well, I can. You know, and then people said, you know, I have children who look just like them. And, you know, when people say that, that they look biracial, what they're trying to say is, you know, I'm not just a black, you know, don't look at me just a black person. In other words, you know, I don't want to be considered a black person. You know, I'm ashamed to be considered just black. That's what they're saying to me. It's sort of like when you still hear this day, when black people talk about their lineage and they talk about all the European stuff, well, you know, I'm part Irish and part Italian and have some Indian and German blood in me. You know, what's the matter? You're just ashamed to say you're black? So anyway, and then the other thing was, I read some comments by people, black people, who didn't like the commercial, and one person said that the fact that the black man is asleep while this half white girl is inquisitive, and the white mother has all the answers, is saying that white people are awake while the black man is asleep.
Too much. Reading into it too much.
Right. And I read the I quoted that in the article, in my piece. And then another person wrote, the commercial is trying to suggest that the only time the black man is at peace is when he's married to a white woman, right? And I couldn't resist that, and I wrote, you know, well, who can argue with that? But, and of course, one black woman got very upset with me with that comment. Very upset, right? You know, how can you say that? I'm sick of black men. Black men are a bit of disappointment, lady. As I said, and as I responded to her, lady, I said, black people got issues, and you got a ton of them. You know, you got a ton of them. So, you know, I can't help you. I'm sorry. If go marry a white guy and be very happy. I don't care. You know, you got issues. So anyway, it's a cute commercial, and if you saw the comments, most of the people liked the commercial. There are some people who don't like it for some of the reasons I said, that there's some sort of devious message that why is the black man asleep? Why, and of course, you know, why couldn't it be a black family? Why does he have to be married to a white woman?
Oh, come on.
But,
you know what the deal is? You gotta have. Listen, I've heard this and I understand it because actually the article brought something to my attention recently, where he took umbrage with Jaden Smith slightly. Jaden Smith.
Oh, are you gonna talk about that? Because I got a lot of things to say about that. Oh Jesus, a bit. Go ahead.
You know what? Maybe we spoke about it actually during the comic shop, but we can revisit it for a few moments on this one. I happened to see it earlier today, so it's fresh in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say this quickly, that the Oracle had a little bit of an issue with Jaden Smith dating one of the Kardashians, and he thought that Will Smith seems to be pushing something of kind of like a white it's valid, too. It's something about upper-tier black folk, or successful black folk, I should really say, successful black folk needing to have white folks in the mix to be to feel important. And I said, I don't necessarily disagree with that, but I thought that Will Smith has, for the most part, proven himself, and also this film that came out was had a very, very much of a black imagery thing. So I appreciated that. Black family, black image, black folks in the future, not Tyler Perry in a dress. So that has to be put in a different category.
But well, I don't know. I can't. Go ahead.
But as far as this commercial, I think you're going to have two existing agendas, not necessarily competing with each other. You're going to have an interracial agenda, because it's life. People are going to, as we become more progressive and more and less primitive, you fall in love with who you fall in love with. It's not always going to be Afro Nerd, the black guy, so-and-so, the white woman. It can't always be that way. As time goes on, it's going to be, hey, that's Jeff, that's Serge, that's Kirk. Matter of fact, how we operate, the captain and myself, when we're in the gym, we are in a multiracial environment all the time. And it's rarely, I don't see these people as Asian, Latin, white. I don't do that. It just doesn't work that way. When you intermingle with people on an intimate level, on friendship level, all those things start to melt down. So there's gotta be a place for someone. Listen, I've been in situations where a white woman will approach me rather comfortably and say, "Hey, what's up?" And if this white woman is attractive, God forbid she has a buttocks that's in line with an Afro Nerd paradigm. I can't answer this question. I'm going to be honest with you. The sisters in quotes, they can hate. Hate. But if she comes to me and she's of an attractive, I can't say, well, because you're white, I can't talk to you. No. If you respect me and you're attractive and we vibe, it is what it is, and that is a reality. And you have a president that comes from this union. It's only fair that this life be shown like anybody else's life. We have neighbors, friends. Come on.
Let's see what 626, the other caller, has to say.
All right. 626, welcome to Afro-Nerd. Tell us who you are.
Hey, this is Cookie, man. What's going on, fellas?
What's up,
hey,
man?
Hey, let me add my two cents. I think you just hit on that. You just hit on what it is the controversy is all about, and that is our president is a result of one of these unions. And I think the controversy is not from the commercial itself, but from the comment section that people have put on there. Because it's like, if you look at Hollywood, there's been over 300 films where black women have been with white men in the film. So it's been, all over the place. It's always been there. A Monster Ball should ring a bell to people. But the thing is, because we're in this particular political climate, where anything Obama-related or even hints of Obama, an interracial relationship with a black man with a white woman, that is on fire. And if you took away the comment section, it wouldn't be a problem because nobody would have really blinked the eyes at maybe a couple black women. But the thing is, you let white people in their flyover country, people that listen to Glenn Beck and Alex Jones and Rush Limbaugh and Fox News, you let them actually open their mouth and say what they say in private to the public, and then you'll see the real white people show up, and that's when the problem comes, because it's a problem because civilized white folks have said, oh my God, what are these, you know, Republican white folks doing, saying stuff on TV? That's where the real controversy is. The real white folks stand up, and then you hear what they really have to say.
I agree with you, but, you know, listen, there's a lot of insecurity going on. This is what Sergio tapped into as well as the captain. There's a lot of insecurity going on, really, with both races, incidentally, for different reasons. And we have to pretend as if this hasn't been going on. Strom Thurmond knocked up his maid in 1920-something, his black maid. Matter of fact, when I saw After Earth this morning, there was a young, probably teenagers or maybe early 20-something interracial couple that walked out holding hands, white male, black female. They had to be, I don't know, teenagers or maybe, like I said, early 20s. Holding his black woman's hand comfortably, nobody's paying attention. I mean, this is metropolitan New York. I don't know. It's just tired. I'm, you know, what really makes me more ashamed is that why wasn't this seen in 1988, 1990? The commercials, this should have been 1990, not 2013. It's really late. It's a late concept, and to be this far removed from where we, beyond a black president, beyond interracial marriages being legal from 1967, we're going into half a century now. We're going into half a century, and now we're bothered that a little girl can't see her parents on screen. I mean, you know how many people.
Well, you know, look, don't forget, you're still dealing with the sex factor. You know, the idea of, implied that a black man is having sex with a white woman. There still is a problem with that. You still have a problem with people, black women, who say, why is he with a white woman? We're losing black men. All available black men are, going to white women. There's a lot of, like I said, issues. When you're dealing with race, and particularly when you're dealing with interracial relationships, there still is tension. And even though, ironically, what's the number one most popular genre in adult films?
Interracial.
Hello? Interracial. Exactly. You know, it's the secret. Everybody's intrigued by it, but they don't want to admit it.
Yeah,
this is true. You're absolutely correct.
Hollywood has had interracial relationships. Just think about like Tandy Newton, Kerry Washington, Zoe Zelana. They're always in interracial relationships. Star Trek, Hello, or Avatar, or something like that. You got a popular black woman. That's part of Hollywood's secret. You want to get in Hollywood, you got to have a white man. You have a white man, get on stream with a white man, or if you're a black man, you got to wear a dress. You got to act like a faggot. And they'll never put you on.
Yeah, but look what happened in that movie, the Denzel Washington film Flight, where in the movie he does have a relationship. Part of the film, there's a relationship with a white woman. Some people try to start a boycott against the movie. I'm talking about black people. Black people. We're trying to start a boycott against the movie because he has a relationship with this white woman in the film.
Didn't Tyler Perry get that with Kim Kardashian, Kim K, in his movie? Wasn't white black women upset about that?
Because she is unofficially black. Because first of all, she's kind of off white. She's not the blonde, skinny girl. She's kind of off white. She only deals with black men. She's Armenian, so she's like sort of off white. She has a black pass.
Have you seen the buttocks on her? That's the end of the question.
Yeah, you see, right.
That's
she said so. She had said so herself. She has said that one of the reasons why she has become popular is because she doesn't fit the usual skinny white girl mold.
Let me tell you, I will confess, this is my own madness. But if I see a white woman If I see a white woman with a big, like a shapely black buttocks, I become racially confused immediately. I've seen that. It happens in my own head. If I see a white woman with a black woman's physique, automatically, this is maybe my own madness. I say, what is she? Look at Ice-T's woman. What is she? That's just me. What if I'm used to the customary flat buttocks, then I know clearly who you are. But once that buttocks is protruding, what's going on? I'm putting it out there. Anyway.
But, you and me both.
All right. All right. We spoke about After Earth in the last segment, but let's devote about 5 minutes to it, and then we're going to go to a quick musical break. Serge, what are your thoughts on After Earth? Again, this is the
You mean that Scientology indoctrination film? Yeah.
I think we're going to have a difference of opinion, but go ahead.
No, are you kidding me? Even a guy who was a member, one of the top officials of the Scientology, he was in it for 15 years, wrote a book exposing what's going on. He says that movie is loaded with nothing but ideas and images and symbols from the Church of Scientology. When you look at it about fear and all that stuff, you know, I thought it was a terrible picture. I thought it was boring. The kid can't act. Stop shoving that stupid-looking kid down our throat.
Oh, he can't
act. With that goofy look, he can't act. And what was that voice he was using? I mean, what he sounded like Elmer Fudd. What was that voice he was using? But in the beginning of the film, he gives the exposition about what happened to Earth, right?
Right.
In his narration, right? I didn't understand a word he said. I was like, what is he saying? I can't follow it. And my friend, when we left the screening, he started doing an impression. He does a pretty good impression to Jaden Smith. Because the voice is really, and I the New York Times said it right. In the old days, Hollywood stars used to buy their children sports cars. Now they get them $130 million vanity film projects.
Yeah.
You know, don't do it. Leave it alone. You know, I've never been crazy about Will Smith. I think actually he's technically lazy. All he wants to do are remakes or sequels. I wish he would challenge himself more. I really would, but he got caught in a groove and he can't get out of it. His star is waning somewhat. The movie looks like it's going to come in third this weekend. You know, it's going to be beaten by that magician movie. Now You See Me, Now You Don't, or whatever it's called.
All right.
I think that was canned also, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it's going to be After Earth. That's what it looks like now.
Let me weigh on this briefly, because, you know, again, folks, you can also listen to how we
talk. Yeah, I know. It's a black father and a black kid. It isn't that great. It's not enough. You got to give me a good picture.
Well, you know what? Listen, I hear what you're saying, Sergio, and you're entitled to your opinion. And I was inclined not to see the film because of the trailer. Something about the trailer that made me feel as if it was dull. It wasn't really – under normal circumstances, it would not make me go see the film. But and all the critics, the reviews on it were not good. But I wanted something to talk about for the show, and I said, let me go out and see this thing. I saw it early this morning. And actually sitting there, first of all, the audience seemed to react to it pretty well. So
really?
I don't know how this – yeah. I mean, first of all, it was packed at 10 o'clock in the morning. I've seen blockbusters where it was not packed in the morning. This one, for some reason, was packed in the morning, which leads me to believe that
Will Smith, we'll see what happens. It may squeak out to number two. Fast and Furious is still going to be number one. It may squeak out to number two, but, you know, the numbers as of Friday weren't good, and the numbers today aren't that great either.
You know, listen, and I don't know what it's going to do. I just thought maybe the particular theater that I was in was pretty packed for a 10 o'clock in the morning film. You know, I've seen other films where the captain and myself, our crew, all our people, when we go to see these things as an event, when we go in the morning, it's not always packed. You know, movies that you know are going to do well were not packed. For some reason, this one was packed, and it's saying it's not going to do well. Anyway, I wanted not to like the movie, but I have to admit, from my perspective, sitting there, I didn't think it was the most horrible movie in line with what the critics have been saying. Maybe I'm a stickler for father and son films. I like the idea of seeing an intact black family in the future. I mean, just visually, when you think about what that means, it's somewhat radical considering what we normally get. We usually get dysfunctionalism and violence or men in dresses. So I think whatever's going on in Will Smith's head, for him to put that out there for public consumption, I think it's important to see it that way. I just think it's important. And I thought that it just really wasn't as bad as what people said it was. You know, that's my only opinion. I mean, and as far as the Scientology, and maybe there's some science, but it seemed like it still seemed to work for me. I mean, he was fighting a future. It wasn't about. I do think that if you listen, whether we like it or not, some of what we are, what holds us back is fear. Even what we talk about on this show, as far as black folks getting out of some of their situations, it's fear. White folks having problems with this commercial we just spoke about, it's fear. So I thought that whether it's Scientology rhetoric, it's applicable. You can't down the rhetoric if it works. I thought it worked. You know, but it probably will not do that well, unfortunately. Who else is doing films like this, Serge? That's the issue. Maybe it's bad. Well, you know, in this landscape, what isn't bad? And one other thing that Daryl B. brought up is that Real Steel showed the same father-son dynamic in Whiteface, and no one took a dump on that movie.
No, but it didn't do any business either.
I don't know. I thought Real Steel did moderately well.
No, it didn't do moderately well. No,
really?
Not even that. No.
Well, I know that we're accustomed to seeing white males and their sons going about the business of father and son relationships. We rarely see it in cinema. Black men and black sons and fathers in cinema working their problems out, I don't really see it. You're going to see Precious or a man in drag or a whole bunch of hair-hatted women, Caucasian hair-hatted women. That's what you see right now. So Will Smith stands alone. If anything, all you know, mistakes allowed. If anything, we see a black father and a son. I don't know. That just gets me. Serge, let's go to a quick musical break. I want to have you on in the second segment too. Hold on. Hold on for a minute.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay, just hold on. All right. Cap, let's go to a quick groove. Folks, this is the Afternoon Show. Let's go to some revivalist soul music. This is Urban Alternative. Charles Bradley, You Put the Flame on It. We'll be right back. Let's groove.
You put the flame on me.
the great Charles Bradley from the Daptones record label, a game that was, you put the flame on it, give you a little bit of revivalist soul. Sounds very similar to something from the 60s, but this is a new record, actually. All right, folks, again, this is Afternoon Radio, the Saturday Grindhouse edition. We're at the second half. We have Sergio Mims on the line as well as, of course, the captain. I want to change things around a little bit, gentlemen. I want to talk about briefly something we left on the table last week, a few shows ago, Zoe Saldana's comments from Allure Magazine. You know, when you do a quick Google search on this thing, she said a number of things, some quite positive, some are being construed as negative. I don't know what to perceive. I mean, I know she's up for this new film, I guess forthcoming film, where she plays the great Nina Simone, and I dare I say, you know, this is, she's a black Latina. I believe she's Puerto Rican and Dominican of both extractions, I believe. But she's always described herself as a black person of Latin descent. However, in the Allure magazine article, she was going on about she really doesn't want to be pigeonholed by a race. I'm paraphrasing. And that she has a problem with the term people of color, as if whites do not have color. She's questioning the whole people of color thing. So, but then I'm looking at something else, and she says, I will honor and respect my black community because that is who I am. So, Serge, what's going on here? I mean, is it much to do about nothing, or does she have the right to play Nina Simone? I mean, we've talked about it before. She has to play, put prosthetics and darken her skin.
Right.
What the hell?
Well, look, if you've been following Sean and Nick, you know that this is maybe the number one topic for the last few months. Anytime we have a new piece about her or about the movie, boy, we get comments galore. The overwhelming majority of people hate this idea of her playing the role. They think it's despicable. Part of it is because physically she doesn't look anywhere near like Nina. I mean, really, she doesn't. She looks nowhere. Who really, I thought, should have played the role, even though I don't know if she could act, was India Arie.
Oh, yeah, right.
But if she can't act, I don't know. People keep saying Viola Davis looks nothing like Nina Simone. Just because they're both dark-skinned doesn't mean they all look alike. She looks nothing like her. And interestingly, we just reported, Tambay reported, there's a project being made about Lorraine Hansberry, the writer,
okay,
the playwright, the writer of Raisin in the Sun. And,
right, she died very young,
was a friend,
too, 36.
Right, she died very young. She was only 34. And one of her closest friends was Nina Simone. And Nina Simone in that film is going to be played by Issa Rae, who, you know, does Avengers of a, you know, Awkward Black Girl.
Awkward Black Girl, right.
Right. She's going to play Nina Simone. She doesn't look like Nina Simone either. Not at all. And she's also, she's a brown-skinned woman, but she's not a dark-skinned woman like Nina Simone. But people don't be, not to be upset by that. Part of it about the woman, Zoe Saldana, she's Dominican. She is, not Puerto Rican, she's Dominican. She was lived for a couple of years in Dominican Republic. The thing about it is that she doesn't look like her. The other problem people have about her is because she is Dominican. You know, and too many black people, my mother's Dominican. A lot of black people think that, well, they're not black. Well, yes, we are. Where do you think, you know, black slaves were transported to? You know, have you ever been to Dominican Republic? There are black people everywhere. I don't know where they get this idea that, gee, if you're Dominican, you're not black. The other problem is that what you just mentioned in these interviews, she seems to go out of her way to play both ends. No, don't consider me black, but yes, I am part of the black community. You know, you're trying to play it both ways, which, you know, when people see that, it's obvious. You're trying to play it both ways. You know, it's like she's saying one message for Hollywood, you know, consider me for all these roles, just don't consider me for black roles. And then she's also telling black people at the same time, well, you know, I'm a black person. So, you know, it's awkward. It's very awkward, to say the least, when someone does that.
Captain, what are your thoughts on this Zoe Saldana controversy? I mean, it's loaded with a couple of things. Again, her comments in Allure magazine, also the fact that she's playing this in this upcoming film, Nina Simone, really a legendary singer.
All right. Well, the one question I have for Sergio Mims is, what is the budget for that movie, Nina Simone?
It's very low budget film. There's another problem too. It's a very low budget film. It was directed by a woman, I cannot remember her name, who was the former partner of Jodie Foster. I cannot remember her name right now. But it's a low budget film. The other problem is that the screenplay is totally inaccurate about her life. One of the things in the screenplay, one of the deals in the screenplay, is that Nina Simone is seen having a relationship with her manager, a romantic relationship. Her manager in real life was a gay man. There was no relationship between them, no romantic relationship between them. Nina Simone's daughter also has criticized the screenplay of this movie, saying that it's totally inaccurate. She's not crazy about Zoe Saldana either playing the role, but she's upset about the screenplay. So it's a double fold. You got the wrong person playing the part, in my opinion, and I think most people's opinion. And number two, the screenplay is a total fiction.
That's what
I
want to clarify.
Well, sorry, go ahead, Captain. Go ahead.
No, he clarified it. That's what I want to clarify, because I knew there was a controversy within that also. Okay. Excellent.
Well, you know, the only thing about this, though, and, you know, this is when you go into these matters rather deeply. For the last King of Scotland film with Forrest Whitaker, Forrest Whitaker had to darken his skin to play an African. As an African-American, he had to darken his skin to play. He's already a dark-skinned guy. Also, years ago, what's his name? Louis, jeez. You know this, Sergio. He played Lou Gossett.
Anwar Sadat.
Right. There was a hoopla back then about an African-American playing an Egyptian. So, I mean, black folks think that they're immune from their own. I mean, you can go into absurdity with this. With someone black enough.
No, people have brought that up.
People
have brought that up. Even, don't forget, Denzel Washington played Malcolm X, and Denzel Washington is much darker than Malcolm X.
Right.
Actually, he's not that much darker. He really isn't. You know, it's kind of over-exaggerated how light-skinned Malcolm X was. He was light-skinned, but he wasn't that light-skinned. The thing about it is that, A, they're guys. Number two, Forrest Whitaker is not a good-looking guy. You know, I can't do aspersions on him, but he's not a matinee idol. And he was playing a guy who wasn't by any means considered a good-looking guy either. So, and also, let's face it, a lot of people really didn't know what Idi Amin looked like. I remember what he looked like, but a lot of people didn't know. A lot of people know how Nina Simone looked. Damn it. Let me go for just a second. I have to take this call. I'm sorry.
No problem. All right. We only got about 3 minutes remaining, Captain, unfortunately. I don't know. I mean, I'm not comfortable in as you know, with a show called Afro Nerd, with this whole qualifying and quantifying one's blackness. I just think that at some point we seem to miss the mark all the time. You know, Sergio mentioned there was some kind of boycott against Denzel Washington because he had a white woman as a love interest in his last film, Flight, and yet we have constant booty shaking, minstrelsy, all kinds of just complete coonery on film and on wax. And no one's boycotting anything, not to any large degree. What we pick and choose to boycott, it's all based on some level of insecurity. It's asinine. You lose your credibility boycotting Denzel Washington when his body of work speaks for itself. His body of work speaks for itself, Captain, and yet we give a pass to all the chicanery. We got about a minute and a half. What are your thoughts on that? Am I wrong am I missing something?
Well, you're absolutely right. But you have to understand, when you deal with these menstruals, these menstrual awareness, you're dealing with body of work. That means you have to do research through over that whole body of work that denotes work. Menstruals don't do work, so they're always lost in the situation. They don't know what's going on, and menstruals are always about what have you done for me lately. They don't look at the body of work. So that just sums it up, and you nailed it. You hit it right on the nail with that. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
Listen, Denzel has played doctors. He's played lawyers. He's played, spiritual leaders. He's played boxers. I mean, he's done it. Agents and all kinds of stuff. He's played the gamut as far as black imagery is concerned. And this to boycott off of it's you know what? We're never going to win, Captain. We're never going to win if we continue to we give minstrelsy a free reign. A free reign. And yet, stuff that really doesn't really amount to much or anything, we're on top of it. I don't get it. I do not get it. All right, folks, listen. It's been real. Always. Let's go on out with, you know what? A classic Stevie Wonder, Black Man. See you on Wednesday.
Call us with blue and white.